Yo, 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 welcome to Unapologetic Live. Taylor's here.
What's up?
In the passenger seat today because passenger he's not seat. In the producer's
I
bay.
I hope you are a trustworthy driver today. You are.
Not
you
at all.
Are.
I am a woman, as Andrew Tate would
That's
say.
True. Oh, no.
And Spencer's in the producer's bay.
What is up?
Nice to see you, Spencer. Today on Unapologetic Live, we are going to be covering a very hot topic, and that is the topic of a one Mr. Andrew Tate, otherwise known as, I think, Emery Andrew Tate is his full name. And he's been in the hot seat today, not only because he's been banned off of Instagram and Facebook, but because of his general videos and in the words that he says typically on his podcast, when he's featured, when he's in interviews. He has been deemed an alt-right misogynist. And a lot of you have probably heard the name Andrew Tate because you've been on the internet. And he is the man of the internet these days. I remember telling Taylor a few months ago, Andrew Tate is going to be huge. And what did you say?
I said, this guy, I don't get it. What's the angle? Who cares? This guy's just saying random things on the internet. He's just getting attention like everyone else. But I've been proven wrong. He is the avatar of toxic masculinity in
Apparently.
Our generation and is such a threat to our norms and our society and our children that Facebook had to ban him.
Had to take him down. And here's the article right here.
I'm being facetious, by the way, a little bit.
Right. But. Yes, of course, we always are when it comes to being censorious in today's day and age. Here's Andrew Tate, at least not the bald Andrew Tate that we know right now, but the old Andrew Tate.
Wait, how's our poll doing, by the way? That we just before the show today, we released a poll. Who is more attractive, Andrew Tate or Pete Davidson, for whatever reason?
Oh.
Amala has the hot take that Pete Davidson is cute. You didn't say he's like
okay,
hot.
Okay, I didn't say he's hot. Cute. Yeah, I didn't say Pete Davidson is hot. I said Pete Davidson is cute. I could see why people find Pete Davidson attractive. Does anybody echo those sentiments?
I mean, you're with me and Spencer right now, so we're not the best audience. But the poll that we put on the YouTube channel has 76% of people agree with me that, I mean, I'm no like, oh, Andrew Tate's a hot person, but I'm just like, Pete Davidson's just not a good looking dude. I'm sorry.
No.
And like,
whatever.
If you had to choose between Andrew Tate's like average looking man, whatever, 76% say Andrew Tate's more attractive than Pete Davidson. So
all
sorry.
I'm
sorry. That's all I'm saying.
On a base level, Pete Davidson is more attractive than Andrew Tate. We're going to get to that. We're going to show some of Andrew Tate. We're not going to be talking about Pete Davidson on today's show. But Andrew Tate, as I said before, has been banned off of Facebook and Instagram. For those of you who don't know who this man is, I don't know if we can call him young man. He's what, 35?
35.
He's 35. Okay.
That's youngish, okay, as someone approaching their mid-30s. That's not old, right, guys?
Taylor's like, it's fine. Everything's
it's fine.
He's not old. So here's Andrew Tate. This is what he looks like, although bald now. And Andrew Tate is famous for clips that have been circulating around the internet. It's not even like he's doing this himself. He's appearing on podcasts. He has his own show. He was featured on the Fresh and Pit podcast. He was on Barstool Sports with Dave Portnoy, which became a famous podcast
full
after
send.
His entrance. The Full
Dave
Send podcast.
Full send.
I think Nelk Boys as well. He's been on a lot of different circuits when it comes to his content and what he's been saying. And he's known for being what is a pro-masculinity figure. Now, we can talk about whether or not that is wholesome, healthy masculinity or a toxic form of masculinity, but that is his brand. A masculine, youngish 35-year-old man.
Youngish.
Youngish.
Yeah, you have to be specific. Is he an advocate of just masculinity in general or toxic masculinity, which is definitely a part of this debate that we'll be into today.
Yeah, we're going to ask you guys to differentiate and sort of come to your own opinion on whether or not Andrew Tate is a toxic individual. So he does sort of echo the classic masculine ideas that men are more assertive, they are more aggressive, they're more focused on things than they are on people. These are sentiments that you would hear echoed by people like Jordan Peterson. Although Tate does have a different sort of flavor when it comes to sharing these ideas, he is very blunt, he is very crass, he is very straight to the point. And there are certainly many things that Andrew Tate has said on his platforms and on other people's platforms that I very much disagree with. Things to the tune of women are property. It's okay for men to cheat in their relationships. It's not okay for women to cheat in their relationships. If a man is dating a girl who has an OnlyFans, he he has a right to gain some of the profit. Whereas, whereas if a woman is dating a man who is a porn star or is on OnlyFans, she has no right to any of his profit. So
very sensible guy.
You know, very sensible.
Fair, even keel, level-headed, you know, just
of
just,
course.
Yeah, avatar of reasonability and what's that? What's the controversy, honestly?
What could possibly be controversial about what this man is saying? And he's been deemed and self-proclaimed as an alpha male. He actually...
And a self-proclaimed trillionaire, by the way. Apparently, he's the world's first trillionaire.
I can't take this seriously.
You said
yes.
Trillionaire?
Yes. Self-proclaimed trillionaire.
He told some girl he's a trillionaire. He's not, but it's fine.
Which we all doubt. Anyways, but he's been banned off of Facebook and Instagram now, just today. And we've actually been working on getting him on the show because I would love to talk to this guy. As much as he says ridiculous things and he says some sensible things, I just want to cut to the chase and get to who he actually is as a person. But let's talk about Andrew Tate, give you a little bit of background on how he came to be and why he is such a pivotal figure in the conversations we're having right now as it pertains to social media and cultural issues. So Andrew Tate apparently had his claim to fame and fortune off of sort of pimping out girls. He started a cam girl website where he asked some of his ex-girlfriends and women that he knew were, that were particularly attractive to start camming online, and he was sort of the arbiter of all that, the businessman behind the work that they were doing. And that is apparently what made him become a millionaire at the age of 27. He started to gain popularity as he hopped on the internet and started talking about his not only political beliefs, but cultural beliefs as it pertains to being a man. Now, alongside his beliefs on masculinity and modern day feminism, he also has some pretty strong beliefs about sexual assault and rape. Also, some allegations on his name regarding sexual assault and rape. He did famously appear on a TV show by the name of Big Brother and was kicked off the TV show after a video got released of him possibly assaulting and having an altercation with another girl on the show. So he was kicked off the show. I believe he now resides in Romania. And he says this is because...
Oh, gosh.
It feels so weird to even talk about this man. He says it's because Romania is very lax on their laws as it pertains to sexual assault. And he is quoted as saying, I want to actually find this particular quote before I go in and say exactly what he said.
Oh, here, I got it.
Yeah.
It's easier to get off on rape charges in Eastern Europe. That was probably 40% of the reason he moved there. He continues to say, quote, I am not a rapist, but I like the idea of being able to just do what I want. I like being free, end quote.
So, pretty controversial. And you know me, I say things are controversial only if you deem them to be controversial. But this man stands in the bubble that is controversy. And everything that he says, I think he is very much fueled off of it, as well as his own ego as it pertains to having relations with women and the amount of money he's been able to produce
this
in doing so.
This comparison just popped in my head. Dan Bilzerian meets Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yes!
Oh, that's good.
You know what? That's pretty accurate. Spencer, are you pretty familiar with Andrew Tate? Do you watch any of his content?
I don't watch any of his content. I have discussed it. I've watched some of it.
You can't not see it. If you're on social media, absolutely, on TikTok, absolutely, YouTube Shorts, anywhere like that, it's not even like his own post. People just take his clips and they just go viral. They attract so much attention. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. No. I've seen his stuff. I've seen his stuff before. I am not the biggest fan of the way he goes about it.
Yeah.
There are some points that he has made that I've told you guys, I actually stand by.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, not all of it, and a lot of it is just, you know,
a lot of it's a little bit of BS.
Like, have we laid out what are some of the things that he espouses that are like ideas that are good, or things that are like maybe not politically correct, but things that people would agree with or that have some reasonability to it that resonate with people that make him likable?
Sure. Yeah, we're going to show some of his videos. But as far as masculinity versus femininity is a part of this conversation, he talks about how men and women are distinctly different. They have different attributes, different characteristics that guide the way that they lead their lives and their lifestyles, particularly in America. And that is very much true. He talks about how people care far more for women and children than they care about men. And that is very much true. He talks about how men often play the role of being the protector and the provider, while women are the more caring and nurturing counterpart to men. Very much true. But those ideas sort of branch out into his more extreme ideals of men can cheat in relationships, but women cannot cheat in relationships.
Which is interesting, because if he only said the things that are like okay, that's somewhat politically correct, but no one ever says those, and it's cool that you say it.
Right.
If he only ever said those, he wouldn't have near as much attention as he does because Absolutely. He says all the other crazy things.
This is exactly the case. And Andrew Tate, honestly, has become one of the most famous men in America, probably internationally now, because of the mark that he's made by saying these sort of controversial, offensive statements. And we're going to get into a conversation about why somebody like Andrew Tate exists. We're going to make comparisons to other political, historical, and pop culture figures that represent the very reason why Andrew Tate exists and why he's able to thrive in the discourse and society that we've created today. But a lot of people are behind Andrew Tate, supporting him, cheering him on, cheering on his takes. And a lot of people are on the hate side of Andrew Tate, saying he's a disgusting, vile, misogynistic, discriminatory human being, and that he should be censored and he should be taken off these platforms. I want to get into some of his videos. Here's Philip DeFranco talking about Andrew Tate and this whole situation in a recent video that he's put out on YouTube. And let's take a look.
It's like, this has to be a character because this is so outlandish. He's talking about women being property. And that's just one example. Of course, there are highlights that paint a fuller picture.
Women should clean up. Not only should women clean up, women should clean up unprompted. I will not administer CPR unless you're a hot female. If I have responsibility over her, then I must have a degree of authority. For the same reason, if I have responsibility over, and everyone's going to lose their mind, it's an example, it's only an analogy. If I have responsibility over a child, I have to have some authority. You cannot be responsible for something that doesn't listen to you. You can't be responsible for a dog if it doesn't obey you.
Some little dude once said to me, yeah, but if it's next to your bed, what if you like upset a girl and she catches you cheating and gets a machete? Bro,
there's no female alive, even with a machete, that would stand a chance. Have you ever seen a woman try to do anything competently?
Oh, you cheater, you're cheating.
It's bang out the machete, boom in her face, and grip her up by the neck.
Or basically everything's escalating from ugly, ugly misogyny to just...
Let me just pause. Any comments on anything that was just said?
Well, you see where the provocateur, you see why he's getting so much attention,
right,
I could say.
Right, right. You're getting a feel for what his character is in these videos.
I'm not going to lie, it made me laugh.
It does make me laugh.
It's kind of like a car crash. Like, you can't look away.
Yeah.
It's very, like, attention getting, dare I say, entertaining to watch him go off on all this crazy stuff because it's stuff people don't say, but he's just going there. And again, there's like this kernel of truth to some of it. That's like, wow, I mean, you're kind of saying stuff that people don't say, but then he's got all this crazy stuff on top of it that's like,
yeah.
I can't endorse that. I can't repeat it.
Yeah, buried around the BS is a lot of very truthful statements, and I think he is speaking to a niche market in the sense that men don't have a place to go in current society. They've been deemed as toxic. They've been deemed that they are constantly mansplaining when they're talking about normal, everyday subject matters and things in life, and they've been told that they really have no place in the society and that they've had a certain amount of power historically that needs to be taken away from them. So when you create a culture that functions on those assumptions, what are young men doing? And what is not, I wouldn't say that anything is particularly concerning to me when it comes to Andrew Tate content. For every world that we're living in, there's going to be an Andrew Tate and there's going to be someone like him creating this sort of content and there's going to be people consuming it. What I'm on the lookout for is how many young men are watching Andrew Tate's content. And that seems to be the concern here with a lot of people. Adult individuals, both male and female, can watch Andrew Tate's content and have a certain level of discernment to decide, okay, I agree with that statement that he just made there. That was clearly very extreme. And they can see through what is clearly sort of an egotistical caricature that has been painted, and he knows thrives, he knows creates money, he knows creates a certain amount of content that people want to have their eyes on, whether they love it or hate it. Adults can come to that conclusion and decide that on their own. It's children that are maybe 9 to 15 year old boys who then watch this content, take in what Andrew Tate is saying, and then go, oh, well, he's a self-proclaimed trillionaire. He's got all these Bugattis. He's doing these shows where all these very beautiful OnlyFans-looking and Instagram baddie-looking girls are sitting around him and either agreeing or disagreeing with what he's saying. But either way, I want that lifestyle. I want the lifestyle that he's talking about. And if he's getting that lifestyle through demeaning and putting down women and talking about things like sexual assault and domestic violence, that could be a concern for a lot of people. So the left-leaning progressive end of things, who have seen Andrew Tate rise and go through this ascension to just fame and stardom, are very taken aback by that fame and by that stardom, and have chosen to target him and say that his content needs to be taken off the internet because of the influence that it could have on young people. We're going to go on in this video with Philip DeFranco and continue watching and see what people have to say.
Straight up violence against women. And that stuff's just the tip of the iceberg, right? He said things like rape victims should bear some responsibility for the violent crime that was committed against them. And has also said that he prefers to date girls that are 18 or 19 so he can make an imprint on them. And that's in addition to some of the creepy stuff he's literally said to girls who are under the age of 18.
Once you're 18, if you want to get yourself a real man, I know a guy.
There were also reports that the UK was investigating him for abuse allegations, which he has denied. And when he moved from the UK to Romania, he said that 40% of the reason that he moved there is because it's easier to evade rape charges, saying, "I'm not a rapist, but I like the idea of just being able to do what I want. I like being free." But also, the investigations into him reportedly don't stop in the UK. This because a 21-year-old girl was allegedly being held against her will at his home in Romania. Though Tate has denied wrongdoing, but authorities have said that an ongoing investigation includes human trafficking and rape allegations. And so with this, I know a number of you watching are probably like, well, how is he even on a platform? And that is actually one of the more interesting things. He has been banned from Twitter over these views, which once again are only a fraction of his controversial takes. And he isn't even actively on TikTok himself, but instead there are tons of videos of him from other accounts racking up over 11 billion views. Yep. The reports here about how he managed to rack up these views are interesting, because one of Andrew Tate's main ventures is called Hustlers University. Now with this, I'll say right at the beginning, it sounds very much like an MLM. I don't know how you say it's not, but as Tate describes it, it's a community where me and dozens of War Room members will teach you exactly how to make money, and adding that it gives people access to stock analysis, options plays, crypto analysis, DeFi, NFTs, e-commerce, copywriting, freelancing, affiliate marketing, and more.
Pause. Okay. So this is a man who's been able to build a platform really on his own, and he's not even doing much. Like, he's not very functioning on these platforms. People are just circulating his clips on their own, and that is funneling people into things like his Hustler Academy that then gain them the money to get these women that he says he gets all the time.
It's brilliant marketing.
Actually. It is brilliant
because
marketing.
He's banned currently off of what now? Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Twitter, yeah, and TikTok.
And on TikTok. So simply put, he is getting marketing and he's not even on these platforms anymore.
Yes. All for free.
Yeah.
All for free.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how this came to fruition. Because I said on the show yesterday, a lot of people talk about the villains and the heroes of their era, and they just came to be out of nowhere. There's no culture that created them. There's no media that created them. There's not a society that created these people. They just pop up out of nowhere, and suddenly they're here, and suddenly they're these evil, misogynist, alt-right people who are creating a pipeline to funnel other people through. But that can't be the case, is it? Is that truly what's happened here? Or is it that we have an extremely woke, censorious, authoritarian style group in our society that is growing and growing and building and building, and people are looking for an out of that? And Andrew Tate created an out, particularly for young men, and they decided, you know what? I love somebody who's going to go against the guidelines that have been created for me. I love somebody who's going to step out of the box and not care to be bashed and not care to be censored and not care to be put down for what he thinks. And you know what? I'm going to follow that guy over the other guys who are going to tell me everything I need to think and say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's not a question of whether you agree with Andrew Tate for 99% of people.
Right.
Because most people can just look at him for 2 seconds and listen to anything he says and be like, okay, this guy's way outside the bounds of normal discourse, normal acceptable views on women, on morality, on masculinity. He's not a force for good. He's not a role model for young men. But they don't take the next step and ask the deeper question of why is he getting so much attention? Why is he striking a chord in our culture right now? And I think it's exactly right. In the same way, you can look back at 2015, 2016, Donald Trump. He came out of nowhere. He was clearly not a candidate who was fell in the mold of someone who you'd say, oh, this is a person who's absolutely eminently qualified and morally qualified for office, and Christians got behind him and all this stuff. But it's like he was saying certain things that resonated with people because they were anti-establishment, anti-woke, anti-political correctness, was willing to talk about things that other people weren't willing to talk about, say things other people weren't willing to say. And what does that do when you strike a chord with truth? And so it resonates with people. And so the question that we should be asking is not really whether Andrew Tate you agree with him or not, because obviously no, he is a toxic, he espouses toxic ideas. He's a horrible figure. No one moves to Romania to have more lenient punishment for rape charges or whatever.
Right.
And you can say that's someone worth being a role model or worth celebrating, or that you want your 10-year-old boy to be watching. But we need to ask ourselves, why is this person striking a chord in the culture right now? And what I think a lot of the mainstream media and even these institutions like Facebook, Instagram that banned him today, Twitter that's banned him, TikTok, people that control them, the mainstream left who are all like applauding this move, they're never stopping to think, how did this beast be created in the first place? And did we have a hand in that? Could we be off base with this creation of this culture of political correctness, of toxic masculinity, of portraying of radical feminism, of portraying women as victims? We just came out with that video today that you reacted to, this new Disney Plus She-Hulk show where she's saying how the thing that makes her angry and inspires her to have the anger that turns her into She-Hulk is being catcalled. And what was the other one? Being mansplained to. It's like, this is the culture that we're in, and in the absence and the dearth of positive role models for young men and a place to place their masculinity and not have to apologize for it, what do you think is going to emerge out of that? So it's an indictment against, Andrew Tate is an indictment against our culture in the same way that Trump was. But rather than addressing the root issue and acknowledging it, what we're doing is saying, we don't want to deal with this. We're just going to kick him off of this platform. We're going to take away his voice. We're going to censor him, just like we did with Trump, and think and imagine that that resolves it. But you haven't resolved it. You haven't defeated his ideas. You haven't addressed the you haven't separated the wheat from the chaff and said, okay, he's saying some true things here, and you're right. We've been overly politically correct here. We've enforced our ideology down in all these different ways. We haven't acknowledged the difference between men and women and all this stuff. And he's right about those things. But come on, guys. Let's, you know, this is ridiculous. Instead of doing that, instead of actually having the debate, they're just kicking him off. And I think that's the criticism.
Yep. And
absolutely.
It's going to create a problem.
Yeah.
You've seen young men watching this stuff.
I only view Andrew Tate as the vessel in the situation. And like Taylor was saying, it's the actual society and the culture that has molded people like Andrew Tate to find so much success, because a lot of people are craving that now.
Yep.
A lot of people are craving the, you know, maybe the alpha male style stuff, simply because it's told and taught in school that it's wrong.
Yes.
Simply put.
When you've decided that something needs to be censored, something needs to be taken away from political discourse, or something that there is something that people don't need to hear, guess what? People will search for and attach themselves to anything that is dissident to that. It doesn't matter if that thing is right. It doesn't matter if that thing has intellectual integrity. It doesn't matter what that thing is. So long as it is dissident to what you've decided is the mainstream narrative, they will attach themselves to it. And what we've done with masculinity is go, well, masculinity is toxic for this reason and this reason and this reason. We're not going to talk about healthy forms of masculinity, about honing into things that are naturally masculine and allowing young men to thrive in that in a healthy manner. Instead, we're going to say it's all toxic, it all needs to be thrown away, and we're both equal. And out of that, you get people like Jordan Peterson, which is a much healthier version than an Andrew Tate. And then you get the Andrew Tates. Okay, so the Jordan Peterson gets censored, and then the Andrew Tate arises, which is much worse than a Jordan Peterson, and a much less healthy message than a Jordan Peterson. And they arise, and then you go, well, I'm going to censor that as well. And then you get the third wave of whatever this new pro-masculinity movement is going to be. And we're seeing that now. If you guys are unfamiliar with a man by the name of Sneeko, he's becoming really famous on things like TikTok and Instagram. And he is like the saltine cracker version of Andrew Tate. And his takes are much worse. They are they're far less intellectual, and they are much more devoid of logic. So, and he's going to rise to fame, and he's going to have his own following that gets younger and younger. And guess what? He's going to get censored. And then the next wave is going to come through of something that is far worse than anything that you've censored in the past. And it's because you're not allowing people to take in all the information, all the different points of views that they could possibly have on a subject matter, and come to their own conclusion through their own critical thinking skills. If you don't allow that, like I said before, people will attach themselves to anything that is opposite to what you are saying. And I fear to look at what's after Andrew Tate, honestly.
Yeah, who knows? But if you're exactly right. If they're not willing to have the argument and the answer is just censor anyone who says anything we don't like, you're only going to allow people whose ideas you don't want out there to fester and yes. to find places to like that you were talking about. We talked about at lunch how like 4chan became it what it is.
Yes.
And the toxic place that it is in a lot of ways, precisely because the only people who were able to go there were the people who had the ideas that were not able to be exposed to the public square.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the other part about this discussion that I think we are overlooking is also like, yes, it's true. I wouldn't, if I had a 10-year-old boy, I would not want him exposed to the ideas of Andrew Tate, or not necessarily exposed to it, because you need to be exposed to things,
right.
but I would not want him consuming all these on TikTok and thinking like, this is what being a man means. But I would be raising that boy with my values, and I would be teaching him, and I'd be involved in his life. And if we're so worried as a culture that young people are seeing these, isn't that an indictment against our culture that we don't have the ability to raise our young people with values that would reject the extremes of the toxic masculinity that he's
right.
espousing? And so we should have a culture where if you have those extreme views, there's not this fascination with it. You're able to reject that out of hand, even as young people, in the same way that we see on libs of TikTok, these young teachers or these teachers who are saying, you know, my pronouns are they, them, or whatever. And the kids are like, that doesn't make sense, Mrs. So-and-so. What
right.
does that even
yeah.
mean? And they're like complaining on social media that their kids don't get this radical ideology that they're trying to indoctrinate them with because mm-hmm. they have basic common sense. Shouldn't we be able to instill in our children the values that we share about masculinity, about the role of women, about how you should honor women, all these things? And that's where when they hear Andrew Tate and that shows up in their feed, they're like, wow, this guy is way out of bounds on these issues
mm-hmm.
and it's funny and entertaining or whatever, but this is way off base. We shouldn't right. be worried that it's going to like radicalize them towards something. That's more of an indictment on our culture than it is on Andrew Tate.
Exactly. And he's not always out of bounds. Like he says
right.
things that are valid. And I should show some of his videos as we continue to talk about him so that you guys can see it. Here is one on how men and women are not the same. Let's take a look.
In the house, I'm not sending her to fight. It's my job, right? I have to risk my life to protect her. So when someone doesn't break in the house and I ask her for breakfast, I expect it to be made.
Okay, it's funny to hear, and because of the way that he communicates these issues, but is anything that he just said technically wrong in my point of view where I come from? No, not at all. I date somebody who I expect to be the protector and provider when stuff goes down. As Steven Crowder says, when there's a wolf at the door, who do you want going to the door? Is it the husband or the wife? I want my husband going to the door to protect me. In that case, knowing that that is true, knowing that that is the way that our relationship functions, and that is the dynamic between the two of us, am I going to make breakfast when breakfast needs to be made? Absolutely. Am I going to clean the house when the house needs to be cleaned? Absolutely. Am I going to do laundry when laundry needs to be done? Absolutely. Because when there's somebody at our door who wants to harm our family, or when there's a massive problem that needs taking care of, I want my husband to be the one to do that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I made dinner for my wife 3 days this week, okay? We have HelloFresh,
wow.
We got it delivered. Yeah, and I actually enjoy the cooking side of things. So,
yeah.
You know, that's a steel man against the toxic masculinity
yeah.
accusation. But my wife wishes that she didn't have to work at the 9-to-5 all day every day.
Right.
So that she had the freedom to cook dinner and that be one of her main concerns and to just be the homemaker. That's something that she would prefer at this point, which, by the way, say that 5 years ago to her, 10 years ago to her, they'd be like, no, you know,
yeah.
But we've gotten there as we're married. And it's like, okay, no, it actually makes sense to have different roles in an equal partnership in life that, hey, we're going to play different roles in this. And not every couple has to follow that. And it shouldn't be this thing that's like, you have no choice as a woman. I think the original first wave feminism had a lot of validity in that sense,
mm-hmm.
but it's gotten to this place where like we got this new She-Hulk type stuff and it's been so repressed and so buried that if you want to be a homemaker or homestead has become a popular thing
yeah.
among young conservative women
yes.
now.
Homestead,
that's,
baby.
That's something that's shamed by the culture. And it's like, and even just not even that, but just acknowledging that men and women are inherently different in
yeah.
what they want. And
that's where Andrew
are,
Tate has
yeah.
a actually really great point. Men and women are very different.
Yes.
And as a guy, I want to protect my family. Mm-hmm. I want to protect the person who I'm in a relationship with. Mm-hmm. Much like you just said, you want the guy in the house to do that. Mm-hmm. Same exact thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
I don't think we all agree with that.
There's
and
nothing
Andrew Tate's
wrong
opinion
with
on it.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. And those takes that are just on their face very much true in so many ways, shapes, and forms are being attached to his other takes about sexual assault and things like OnlyFans and all this other stuff. And he's being labeled as a man who's creating an alt-right pipeline where young individuals are finding his videos and then going down a pipeline to find more alt-right, more misogynist content. I'm sorry. Is that his fault? No, it's not his fault. It's not his fault whatsoever. He's saying what are his beliefs and his opinions, and that's what everybody has the right to do in this country. And that's a right that should be valued by anybody and everybody who lives here and gets to appreciate and exercise the rights that they've been given as citizens of this country. And to have people just completely throw that to the wayside and demean it because they don't like what they're hearing is BS to me. Andrew Tate has as much a right to be on these social media platforms as anybody else. And we can get into the whole Section 230 debate. We can get into them being a private business and them being able to censor whoever they want. And I am inclined to agree with people on that. But the principle itself, that they feel the need to censor these ideas because they're uncomfortable with them, is BS to me. You should allow him to do whatever he wants to do. And if he's creating an audience that loves his content and he's thriving on the audience that is watching his content, that's on him. That's entrepreneurial spirit. That is the spirit of freedom of speech here in this country, and that is absolutely his right. And like I said, there's so many things that he says that are actually valuable and actually things that I think that young men do need to hear. Now, as far as the other things, maybe not. But if you don't have the critical thinking skills to be able to discern what's good and what's bad, that's on you. It's not on him.
Yeah, and if your kids don't have those critical thinking skills, that's on you as a parent.
Absolutely.
And if young people in our society don't, that's on us as a culture.
Yes.
And so instead of that self-reflective, hey, let's take responsibility for why Andrew Tate is even flourishing in the first place, we're just saying, let's just cut him off. Let's pretend like he doesn't exist. Let's just ban him off of social media. That'll solve the problem.
Yeah.
It won't solve the problem. And I think that's the central issue here. It's not that we agree with Andrew Tate or that we need to defend him in some way, but it's that you cannot fix the problem that we're finding with all the energy behind Andrew Tate. You're not going to take that away from society by censoring him.
Yes.
And that it's not the issue. It's not the solution.
You don't have to agree with him in order to understand that it's wrong that he's banned.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And yeah, if I was hopefully a liberal leftist, I'd be hopping up here and making the exact same argument that he should be allowed to make the videos that he's making on social media and he should be allowed to have a platform just like everybody else. And to the people who are pro banning this man, I can't stress enough. Somebody will take on his absence. Somebody will fill the void that has now been created by him being banned off these platforms, and it'll be somebody who is far less equipped and with a much worse message than he has. That's exactly what you're creating, is this cyclical creation of a worse and worse and worse and worse public figure to fill the slots that you're creating with censoring these people. And he has every right to be as successful as he wants to be promoting the message that he has.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Andrew Tate's fault that people are resonating with what he's saying.
Yes.
If you can espouse the most crazy, hateful stuff online, and the fact that people want to hear it and gather around it is not necessarily, it's a reflection on society and the culture and where we're at right now, that we need to have that inward look and see what is broken about our culture. It's the same thing like when we talk about mass shootings and the mental health crisis and all these things, we make it about guns instead of making it about, okay, wait, why are we have all these disaffected young men who are on SSRIs and resort to this for this clamoring of attention, and the way the media publishes their names, and they know that they can make a name for themselves by doing this. We never talk about those root causes.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the guns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing that we're doing right here. It's like, oh, let's ban Andrew Tate. That'll fix it. And it's like, no, what are the root causes? And until we address those, we're not going to evolve past Andrew Tate. And meanwhile, what do we have? We have Hollywood putting out the She-Hulk type stuff that's just reinforcing the narratives that Andrew Tate is speaking against. And so the stronger you try to clamp down, and it's what it is ultimately, it's social engineering. It's saying that human nature is not the way it is. Men aren't the way they are. Women aren't the way they are. We want it to be in this utopian way where everything's equitable and everything's woke and everything's with this perfect social justice world. And we're
right.
going to portray that in Hollywood. We're going to censor anyone on social media who doesn't toe the line. We're going to enforce it down in all of the institutions that we control, in academia and in the government. And until the world is in this utopian way that we want it, we're just going to squeeze even harder and harder and harder. And Andrew Tate's are the symptom of that. Yes. That they are the rebuttal to that. And until you acknowledge that, and until you go back to a place of neutrality, until you go back to a place of valuing the values of that we share, or that this country was founded on, you're just going to continue to create these monsters like Trump, like Andrew Tate, and more. Until you enshrine free speech, we're just going to keep seeing this.
Right, and shout out to somebody who just commented, Faith Bash. She said, "You're right. I was wrong. He shouldn't be banned. I was wrong." How much of a brave admission that is in this day and age when people can't say the things that they are wrong about. And Faith, I commend you for putting that down in the comments, because sometimes when you hear the content from people that you disagree with, you go, "Oh, I don't want anybody to have to hear that. I don't want anybody to have to hear that. I don't want to have people subjected to that. I don't want to see young men influenced by that." But even with all of that being the case, they still have the right to be on the internet. They still have the right to say these things. And, you know, I don't even want to go as far as to even label somebody like Andrew Tate as evil or a monster. He simply is what he is, and he's making the content that he's making. And that is his right to do. And he can have whatever opinions we all have. I believe very extreme opinions that we carry around with us in our hearts, in our minds, and we think them, and we think very intrusive thoughts every single day of our lives. We don't say those thoughts out loud. And the people who do take out that filter, and you go, "You know what? I'm going to be unapologetically myself, and I'm going to say all this, and I'm going to say exactly what it is I think." They're the ones who get chastised. They're the ones who get ostracized from society. When you're thinking all those things all along, whether or not you agree with them, you're probably thinking the extreme thing on the opposite end of what they've said. But you're not ready to say it out loud. And you carry what probably is a little bit of cowardice about saying what it is that you truly feel. And when we see people who say and are who they truly are, not only do we feel, I think, a little bit of jealousy about how open they are and about how successful they are in being open with themselves, but we get angry about the fact that they've been able to create such success being their authentic selves. And again, whether or not you agree or disagree with Andrew Tate, this our society has created him. And here's a TikTok that I think perfectly explains exactly that.
Tate is a product of the people who hate him the most. He was birthed because the left and the way that things have been swinging because of woke and social media and the way things have been moving for the past several years have swung so far left. Right now, you're starting to see the swing back and people saying, "Yo, we don't want any more woke bullshit." Andrew Tate is a product.
Anything wrong about that? Again, Andrew Tate only exists in a society that has become increasingly censorious and has just completely and utterly outright denied anything that he has to say. That's why he's popular. That's why people are watching him. That's why young men feel so influenced and feel like he is such a role model for them, because we've decided that everything he has to say is not allowed in public discourse. So really what's going to happen here, and I'm going to call this now, and I'm sure all of you will back me up on this, is that the more that he is censored, the more that people hate on him, the more they write about him, the more they talk about how disgusting he is, the more popular he grows, the more famous he becomes, and the more copycat Andrew Tates are created. Because they're going to see the fame that he's amassed, they're going to see the women and the Bugattis and the money and all this stuff, and they're going to go, "I want exactly that, and if I have to say what he says to get that, I'm going to do exactly that." And that's what's going to happen.
When will you learn?
Your fantasies will never be quenched.
But that's the question that's floating around in my head. Mm-hmm. Is just like, when will we learn as a society that censoring people like this is not going to address the issue? And until we really contend with why we feel the need to censor people or whether that's a good thing to do, we're just going to continue this cycle.
Right, right.
It's a whack-a-mole game, though, because you just brought up a great point. It doesn't matter if you ban him on everything. He's going to pop up, whether it's him, on every freaking social media platform ever, or it's going to be people copycatting him, and he's going to live on forever, it seems, in this society.
What happens when you ban something, guys? You make it distinctly valuable. When you ban something, you make an entire group of people go, "Ooh, I want to know exactly, what did he say? What was so crazy that he had to get banned? Or like, how can I get my hands on what this man has created? How can I join the Hustlers Academy? Yeah. How can I start being exactly what Andrew Tate is? People are writing articles about him. The females are talking about him. He's apparently this fighter. He's got a Bugatti. He's got all this stuff. You make what he's saying valuable when you censor it. And this is something I've never understood about the political left. If you wanted to truly root out like right-wing ideology, misogynistic speaking language, whatever it is that you want to call it, you should just let it be. You should let people talk. You should let them say whatever they want, be on whatever platform they want. And suddenly, when it's not a point of controversy, when it's not offensive, when it doesn't put your name in headline news, guess what? People stop talking about it and people stop doing it naturally. So if that's what you truly wanted, you would stop censoring the people that you hate and you are disgusted by. But they can't help themselves. They can't help themselves but be distinctly authoritarian in every single way, shape, and form when they're looking at people who they dislike. And guess what? It only seeks to benefit them. I bet Andrew Tate is just like sitting in his chair right now just lapping this stuff up because you've just created now like 30 different headlines. We're doing a show about his name now because you've banned him off of all these platforms. He's distinctly valuable.
Yeah, by banning him, you're making him the story even more.
Literally.
You know,
literally,
yeah. It's like the prohibition or the, you know, the temperance movement banning alcohol. That just that created a Al bigger, Capone, yeah, and the mafia and all that.
Right.
And it created a whole underground movement around drinking alcohol in private anyway. You couldn't stamp it out. And because like instead of dealing with the root issue of like contending with human nature and human liberty, you just
and what happened to the 18th Amendment
you don't like.
Obviously was repealed in you know, mm-hmm. the whole yep. prohibition stuff.
It's gone.
So that's the question. It's just like, when will we come to our sense of when will we hit rock bottom with all this censorship stuff and realize that it does more harm than good, that we were dumb for trying to socially engineer things in the first place, and that we can just defeat these ideas, that we can hold to the values that make our young men reject the bad ideas of Andrew Tate and acknowledge the true things that he says.
Exactly.
Why can't we just want to arrive at the truth and build our lives on that and build our society around true things and good values instead of having to try to socially engineer everything and think that it's just going to happen because we clamp down hard enough? You cannot perfect people, perfect human nature through legislation, through censoring, through trying to enforce it down by all your policies or whatever. Yeah. You have to let these values and ideas out be tested in the world, and the best ones that are worth holding on to, we should hold on to. That's generally what conservatism is all about, and that's pretty much how I see it.
Yeah, honestly, it's when I think about all of this, just in a general sense, like the larger tent of this is just the coddling of the American mind and the people who want to censor others like Andrew Tate, people like us, people like PragerU and Daily Wire and all this stuff. They don't think you're smart enough to come to a conclusion about what you truly think. They don't think you can listen to good and bad ideas and be able to decide what are good and bad ideas. That mm-hmm. is truly what they think of you. They think that a young boy who listens to Andrew Tate is not going to be able to make up his own mind about what's good and what's bad, and that they're just going to idolize everything that this man says. They don't trust you to make your own decisions. And that's why often the same people who want to censor people like Andrew Tate and people like us have so much trust in the government and want the government to be able to control everything that you see, you think, and you hear. And it's because they don't trust you. They truly think you're stupid. Yep. They truly do think that you're stupid and you're incapable of coming to a conclusion. And so many people have asked me over the past few weeks, you know, Amala, how do you feel about Andrew Tate? Do you watch his videos? I don't know how I feel about him. I do not love that man. I do not hate that man. He simply is what he is. He's simply a human being that has now been gifted a platform because
he's a product of the times.
He's a product of the times. It's literally a sign of the times, and there's going to be so many more like him that you guys are going to want opinions on, or maybe not want to talk about it all and not want to hear about it all because you think it's just as stupid as probably we think it is. But it's just going to keep happening because we are coddling people and thinking they're incapable of making their own decisions.
Yeah, and what concerns me is that I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the viral podcast comments heard around the world yesterday from Sam Harris, where he basically said that he approves of a conspiracy to bury the Hunter Biden story to swing the election so that Trump doesn't get power, because Trump is such an existential threat to democracy that we must undermine democracy in order to save democracy, which right. doesn't really make a ton of sense to me. But it's that same idea that these elitists that think that they're smarter than you and smarter than the rest of us and say, well, your Democratic vote doesn't matter. Too many people are going to vote for something that I don't like. Therefore, we can weaponize our institutional power in the media to clamp down, to censor, to silence, to kick out information that would change the course of democracy. Mm-hmm. We can rig an election, essentially. And I'm not claiming that's what happened or whatever. That's right. not what we're about on this platform. But just the principle of being willing to, if that were the case, saying that that's a good thing, that is a scary idea. And that is an increasingly common thing on the far left. And Sam Harris isn't even a far left figure. And that's what's even scary, because I've gotten a lot out of his content. He's a very rational thinker. But it just goes to show you that once you step into this territory of, it's okay to violate first principles of free speech because I'm so convinced that I'm right about something that I'm willing to bury someone and not let their ideas see the light of day, that has unintended consequences that you don't understand. And the end does not justify the means. And I've always got to make Lord of the Rings references, but that is the definition of using the ring. You're thinking that you're Boromir or Saruman, and you're going to put on the ring to try to defeat the evil Sauron, and you're no better. You have to destroy the power itself, which is what upholding principles of free speech and neutrality does in the first place.
100%. Even the most rational of us have clear blinders that we function with every single day and we have to deal with. And to not allow people to just go through their own journey of possibly being manipulated by others or possibly finding themselves susceptible to the wrong message. You have to allow people to go through that. And if that is the message of Andrew Tate, who are you to say that's something they're not allowed to hear and that's something they're not allowed to be influenced by? I want to read a comment by Shock Therapy, who says, unfortunately, most young people are easily manipulated. And you know what? I think that's totally true. But is that not something that young people need to go through? You need to go through being manipulated. You need to go through things like, I know people might find this controversial, but things like being bullied, things like hearing things that are offensive to you, things like having your feelings hurt in order to grow and develop as a human being. What the woke left, I think, in a lot of ways has created or is trying to create is a society that is completely devoid of feeling things like oppression, offense, controversy, bullying. And they think that is utopic. They think that is the good thing to do to a person. But honestly, the worst life you're ever going to lead is a life that doesn't have some form of suffering, that doesn't have some form of adversity. And manipulation is one of those things. So if you're a 12-year-old boy who goes onto TikTok and you hear about Andrew Tate and he's saying that guys can cheat on their girlfriends, but girlfriends can't cheat on their boyfriends, and you get manipulated into thinking that, and then with your first girlfriend, you say that to her, and then you end up getting burned because she leaves you. Guess what? It's a life lesson you just learned by hearing the words of this guy and being influenced by them.
From Hustler Academy to the School of Hard Knocks.
Yes, exactly right.
To the doghouse.
You know, and if we censor everybody, if we censor the bullies, if we censor the people who are controversial, censor the Andrew Tates of the world, nobody's ever going to learn that lesson. Nobody's ever going to go through that amount of adversity. And we're going to lead a society that's just filled with spoiled brats who don't know what true happiness is or true suffering is.
We're living in that right now, though.
Honestly.
You live in a coddling age where you fall on the ground and there'll be six people to pick you up. It's the participation trophy age we're living in. And therefore, people like Andrew Tate actually resonate with a lot of people because he's telling you to get up and do something on your own and assume a male gender role or a female gender role. Sometimes he might make egregious or inflammatory statements. We can all agree with that. But he has a good point. You should be a guy when you're a guy. You should be a woman when you're a woman. And you should also uphold some of these values, traditional values, whether it comes from religion, whether it comes from history, whether it comes from wherever you find it from. You need to uphold these things, or else you're going to have a society right now where, what is it, She-Hulk or whatever? Like, That's what that is what we've received.
It's not real. I see a lot of people commenting and saying, well, Amala, bullying is a really bad thing. Like, I know we should be careful with bullying. I understand that bullying is a bad thing. So is controversy. So is being manipulated. These are all bad things, but they're also realistic.
Yeah.
You know, life is not this cotton candy, sugar plum fairy world where nothing ever happens to you and people aren't mean. People aren't wrong. People are wrong and mean all the time. All the time. I'm wrong and I'm sometimes mean. Even though some of you might not believe, I'm sure some of you believe that. You know, you must be realistic here. I can be wrong. I can be mean. So can Taylor. So can Spencer. These are things that we experience in our life. And that's to say that people should go through these things and should experience them to build a well-rounded life is not an endorsement of things like bullying and manipulation. It's just an acknowledgement that they happen in life and that people should be aware that these things happen in order to lead what is a full, fulfilled, well-rounded life.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the adage that says, don't child-proof the world, world-proof the child. And
exactly.
Our current society, culture, everything is, you think it's our job to make the world this big padded, you know, place where no child can run into any ideas that might trigger them or misgender them or be a microaggression against you in any way and all this stuff. And it's like, that is not, I mean, you referenced the Coddling of the American Mind. That's the title of a book by Jonathan Haidt. Very good. And like with research, they lay out how the detrimental effects of being a victim, having this very fragile mentality, and people like Andrew Tate are giving voice to the other side of that. And there is an imbalance in our culture, however you want to spin it. There is an imbalance in our culture where the dominant narrative is that the world should be this coddling place, that you should never be offended or never encounter any ideas or anyone behaving in a way that is not good.
Safe spaces.
Yeah, you should, the whole world should be a safe space. And it's like, no, you should be a strong person.
Yes.
You should know how to be a person who is resilient, who's strong, who has convictions, who has values, and that should override whatever you see in the world. And the world's going to, you know, like Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I will overcome the world. So you have to have that within you, the convictions of your values, of your beliefs, and the ability to like overcome difficult circumstances, perspectives that are wrong, falsehoods. You have to be able to discern truth from lies and misogyny from healthy masculinity. You have to be able to, if you can't contend with reality and find through trial and error, through looking at the wisdom of the past, through finding mentors, whatever it may be, then you're, we have nowhere to go from the first place. So I was just listening to Joe Rogan's episode with Seth Dillon the other day, and I thought I want to ask you this. Seth Dillon was talking about how he doesn't let his kids on TikTok because it melts your brain, obviously. But Joe Rogan's take was essentially, I do allow my 14-year-old on TikTok because the world's out there and they're going to experience it. And I don't think he's like, that's the new version of parents in the 80s who said you shouldn't be allowed to listen to rap music or whatever, because it's going to make you bad. And it's like, there's truth to that, but it's also, you know, this is the world we're living in, and by censoring them, you're violating their sense of independence or whatever. You're not respecting their development as an individual. So anyway, I just wanted to get your take, because we're talking about not being in a coddling world.
Yeah.
Like, would you let your kids on TikTok, or at what age? And I think that's a very individualized question. I think it's very circumstantially dependent, but I thought that was an interesting rebuttal that Joe Rogan made, and I'm kind of like up in the air on it.
You know, I'm sort of falling in the vein of, I don't want to dishonor my child's independence either, and I think that as soon as you do that as a parent, you've created a child who no longer trusts you and no longer wants to share their life with you. So for me, it's going to be about tackling those problems while allowing my kid to share with me and be comfortable with me and not have a fear of being turned away from the things that they're interested in. So does that mean like we have a household family smartphone that my kid can log onto TikTok on for, you know, 30 minutes a day and do what it is that they want to do, not creating content. I will be very clear about that. I will not be, when I have kids, I will not be posting them on social media. You will not see pictures of my babies. You will not see videos of my children on social media, because I know why that is harmful and dangerous to do. But you know, you don't want to foster an environment where your kid is not able to be exposed to everything that other kids are being exposed to. It's going to create resentment and animosity towards you as a parent, and it's going to create a child who wants to just be completely defiant to you and doesn't want to share anything with you. Right. So I think it's about just walking that line of how can I share this experience with my child, expose them in a way that's not going to be distinctly harmful to them, but is still going to allow them to have the same experiences as other children.
Yeah. I think the answer is definitely like somewhere in the middle where you don't want to shield your child altogether from the world, because then you make them, that actually weakens them and absolutely can make them weird. But you also don't want to have no supervision and just let them unabashedly just scroll as much as they want and let the algorithm feed them. And I think a good way to monitor it, by the way, is like TikTok is very different on your algorithm, like user by user, based on what you've lingered on and what you've watched. And social media in general is like that. So if you scroll through your kid's TikTok for 5 minutes a day, you see what they're seeing, and you'll have a very good sense of whether they're on like fun, innocent cat videos or on some crazy stuff. And then you can also have the opportunity to talk to them about it too. And I think that's important. So I think, the answer is definitely somewhere in the middle, but I just think that's a very interesting point, especially in this day and age, is like, how much do you let people, how much do you shield the world from people? And I think that is way more the responsibility of parents, by the way, than like social media platforms or the government, than anything else.
And I'll hope above all else that I raise a child who sees other kids on TikTok and goes, that's stupid. Like, I'd much rather be outside. I'd much rather like go camping. I'd much rather do something that like, why are these kids all consumed by screens? Which, the believe it or not, there are kids like who exist like that, who go, I'm looking at other kids who are just on these screens and on their tablets and they're stupid. So you just hope that through leading by example, your kid just takes on those characteristics themselves. But if they don't, you know, you want to usher that in a way that is safe. And we'll do a whole episode about this, but if you have kids, do not post them on social media. And I cannot wait to talk about this in a full hour-long episode of why you should not be doing that, for so many more reasons than I think people are aware of. Do not post your children on social media. It is one of the worst things you can do to your child, whether or not they are aware of it or not.
I need to hear more about this from you as well.
Yes, we will talk about it.
Sounds like a very innocent.
It is quite a horrific, horrible thing.
My wife was on TikTok last night, funny enough, which is not a regular thing, but every once a week or so we're watching, and she came across this video of this like toddler. You know, this is like a common thing on TikTok. There's parents with like a 2-year-old, 3-year-old who does very cute things, and they're freaking adorable, but it's kind of like, it's a part of me feels weird watching it because it's like they're in like a store, and she was like holding up Halloween decor and like saying the words on the decor is like, you know, boo-rific or something. And just the way she said it was like adorable. But I was like, this parent's kind of like putting their child out there, and it's kind of creepy.
Yep. It has the same impact almost as like the, you know, the gender ideology stuff. It's like these children aren't at a place where they can make decisions on their own.
Yeah, there's no consent.
And like, you know, the word consent has now turned into a whole nother battle, but giving consent to be like, I want to be in this, when you're 3 years old, you can't do.
Yeah. And as just a separate note, on top of the fact that it is very exploitative to children, if any of you have TikTok, go on your TikTok and on your For You page, scroll to the first video of a child, and there's actually a bookmark feature on TikTok where you can see how many people have bookmarked, which means saved that video of your child. And look, in reference to the amount of likes, how many people, and typically men, have bookmarked that video of your child. And we will do a full episode on this, because it is an epidemic at this problem, at this point. How many people bookmark videos of children on social media? It is disgusting. That's scary. You know, I see a lot of conservatives do it. They're like, I just had my newborn. Here's my new baby. Here's a video. Do not post your kids on social media. Anyways, that's just an aside. Before we close out today's show, I want to talk about this. It's sort of a recent phenomenon, or at least a recent terminology that people are using as it pertains to social media, and that is the alt-right pipeline. And a lot of people are accusing Andrew Tate of being a creator or a funnel of the alt-right pipeline. Here's one of those videos. And for those of you who don't know what an alt-right pipeline is, it's sort of an introduction into alt-right ideology. So you'll see an Andrew
Tate. It's basically
Tate. This show, yes,
according to the left.
A lot of people call us a part of the alt-right pipeline. So maybe you watch one of our shows and you agree with what we have to say, and you figure out that a lot of what we say happens to be conservative. And then you go deeper and deeper, and then you find people like Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh and then the Steven Crowders, and then you go deeper and you find the Milo Yiannopoulos or whatever it is, and they say you go farther into the alt-right pipeline until you are a neo-Nazi. So a lot of people are accusing Andrew Tate of being a funnel in the alt-right pipeline that is seeking out young men and taking them down the route of becoming a misogynist neo-Nazi. Here's one of those videos.
I fall down the alt-right pipeline. I made a new TikTok account to try and see. I made the account 12 years old, and we're just not going to worry about me pretending to be a 12-year-old online. So I put myself in the mind of a 12-year-old. Wasn't that difficult. I'm not that much more mature than them. The first video I liked was this one about the boys. Made sure to leave a comment, too, so TikTok knew I was engaging with it. I liked a couple more posts, and then I found my golden ticket to the chocolate factory, an Andrew Tate video. I cannot tell you how happy I was to see that, because I knew it was only going to be a matter of time. And what I was looking for was a Ben Shapiro video. You can argue whether or not he's alt-right, but if you get one of his videos on your For You page, you've probably started your descent down the pipeline. And I was right. This opened up the fucking floodgates. I liked one video with Tate in it, and then my For You page just became full of videos of him. Almost every single one of the videos on my For You page was about Andrew Tate or Sneeko or some other creator in that realm. But then the videos started getting more and more political. I got videos of Tate talking about Trump, talking about Biden, and then I got conspiracy theory videos. Finally, after liking some of Tate's more political videos, I got a Ben Shapiro video. So I was able to fall into the alt-right pipeline in a little under an hour of scrolling on TikTok.
Oh, wowie, wowie, wowie. What an egregious misunderstanding of social media algorithms.
I know. Okay, so I sent this video to the other day, and I said, alt-right pipeline is when I like TikTok videos and algorithm shows me more of them.
Literally! That's what it is. And the very same thing would be done with these two men's videos. If you like their videos, guess what you're going to get? More left-leaning videos. That is simply how social media works. So a lot of people are accusing people like Andrew Tate, PragerU, Daily Wire, Matt Walsh, Ben Shapiro, all these people of creating an alt-right pipeline, when that's simply how social media algorithms work. If you like an Andrew Tate video, guess what you're going to get? More Andrew Tate videos, because they want you to be a returning customer, not somebody who just uses their app one time, and when you can't get stuff that you like, you move on to the next. It would work with art. It would work with jewelry. It would work with cat videos. If you liked watching people smoke meth on TikTok, that's what you would get if you liked those videos.
Right, and I love how it was like, and then I got a Ben Shapiro video. As though Ben Shapiro's like worse than Andrew Tate.
Like, hypothetically, if you were going to buy a mattress, you would buy the mattress that I'm sponsored by. And it's like, alt-right politics.
Ben Shapiro is one of the more moderate mainstream conservative voices.
Literally.
Who's the furthest thing from an alt-right
figure. Dude, didn't he say like all the people at January 6th should be in prison?
Yes. I mean, Andrew Tate is more alt-right, arguably,
yes,
than Ben Shapiro would be.
If anything, that video was a testament to TikTok and Instagram's algorithms more than anything. It was like a marketing ploy for the social media, just saying, hey, if you like this, we're going to show you more of it because clearly you're engaging with it.
I know. Exactly. We showed that Wall Street Journal feature where they like did this deep dive investigative report on how if you use a social media app like TikTok and like a certain type of content, it shows you more of it. It's like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Duh. And this is such a weird thing to me about like there's like this alarmism among like blue check journalists, mm-hmm, and just elites on Twitter that it's like, people are seeing things. It's like, dude, it's a free country. People can see what they want to see.
You're sounding like a little bit like the CCP over there.
Yeah, like what? It's like you think people are too dumb. That's what. Just say the quiet part out loud. You think people are too dumb, yeah, to decide for themselves whether something is in violation of good culture, good values, and good principles, and or the truth. And so they're not smart enough to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I have to do it for them, and I have to impose all these rules and ban this and blame Facebook for letting this election happen or demand that the New York Post bury a story that could alter the election. Like, you know, it's not your job, bro. Just
right.
let facts be facts. Let truth go out there. Let people do what they're going to do, yeah, and deal with the consequences. But you can't display, like, it's not, you cannot be the arbiter of what is worth seeing or what people are allowed to see. Why, how can you put yourself in that role?
You can't. And it's very much like, when I say it, it's very much like China, I'm not exaggerating. Like, they censor dissident opinions. They censor people on the internet. They censor what websites you're able to go on, much like they've done with a lot of websites in today's day and age. They censor newspapers and what you're allowed to create. Xi Jinping censored the image of Pooh Bear. Of yeah. Freaking Winnie the Pooh, because so many people were making comparisons about how he looked like him. That's how crazy it gets. And if it starts with people like Jordan Peterson and PragerU and Daily Wire and then goes to people like Andrew Tate, what do you think is next? It's going to be images like Winnie the Pooh because they don't like the comparison.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Change the definition of recession or woman in the dictionary? Oh, wait. That literally already happened. Like, what's crazier, honestly? Our culture is even crazier than China, because China's changing, like, China's censoring Winnie the Pooh. We're censoring the definition of a woman.
Yeah.
You can tell that gets Taylor riled up.
It does.
I'm sorry. It's just like, we are living in clown world.
You're
and
we are.
This stuff's way farther along than we tend to acknowledge, because it just, they use all, they shroud it and all this stuff that it's like, oh, we're fighting misinformation. It's like, no, you're fighting reality. You're censoring reality. You're censoring the truth.
Legit, you are censoring.
Like, what? Where's society going to be in 50 years from now if we continue down this path of censorship?
Oh, like, my God.
Today it's Andrew Tate. What is it going to be next week?
We're going to be like homogenous beings with no gender, walking blobs who like refer to each other as they, them, and like bow down to whatever the ruling class is of the time. It's unbelievable.
We'll have our bug sandwiches for breakfast and yeah. Up in our pods.
Thank you for visiting Toyota AT&T Domino's.
Living in that, like, 25-mile-high city in Saudi Arabia in the middle of the desert that we did a video on recently. Like, that's, they'll have it all figured out for us. We'll just wake up every day and, you know, go to our equitable workers, you know, cohort. Doesn't that sound great?
It sounds absolutely wonderful. But guys, we're still here and we're still on YouTube, so that means something. We're still allowed to have this podcast.
Unlike Steven Crowder.
Which,
While it lasts.
Hopefully we don't follow in the footsteps of him. We've already done so on TikTok. We are gone, banned. Although I do have a new account that you guys can go follow. It's called Amala Unapologetic on TikTok now, because we
video we ever posted got 5 million views. So, you know, before the algorithm had a chance to...
It's called the alt-right pipeline.
Yeah.
The alt-right pipeline, baby. We were reconstructing it.
Jeez.
Anyways, guys, I think that is our final thoughts on this whole situation with Andrew Tate, who has become just a, I don't even know what, an icon, a cultural icon. What do we call him? An anti-hero? We came up with a phrase that I think perfectly encapsulated what he is, but...
It escapes me at the present time.
Yeah, at this point, it doesn't really matter. We don't love him. We don't hate him. He simply is what he is, and he should be allowed to be on these platforms. He doesn't need to be censored. And that's my final thoughts on the subject matter. Let me know your thoughts down below. Did you even know who Andrew Tate was before you started watching this video? Is he someone that you had been exposed to? Did he lead you down the alt-right pipeline, and you're now a neo-Nazi who's attending meetings with the KKK and Proud Boys? I think not, but let me know if you are. I would love to hear it. If I said something that you disagree with, drop it in the comments down below. If I said something you agree with, drop it in the comments down below. If I didn't make a point that you think I should have made, drop it in the comments down below. And please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we go live. That is 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And every time we drop a new video or short for you guys, you guys have been blowing up the channel. We are over 220,000 subscribers. And I can't thank you enough for the support that you have given us to be able to make this content. Thank you so much for watching. We will see you guys on Monday. Bye. Have a great weekend.